Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. And of course, the first day back, we're going to have some sound problems, you know. Hey, well, that was a great segment with Mosaic. I'm still saying their name wrong. With Mosaic, just at the ICR, actually the NRB in February, that was a repeat of one of the shows we did. And I am just wanted to let y'all finish listening to that segment because it was actually pretty good. And I really was impressed with it. I wanted to make sure that you got the rest of it, and it was a good interview. But hey, we're back. It is. And we're into September now. Praise God. Praise God. I mean, we're there. We're finally there. And I'm looking at the schedule, and it just goes so quick. There's so many things that's happening. It's hard to keep up with it. I just want to tell you real quickly. In fact, we'll take the next 15 minutes or so talking about the things that has happened in the last couple of weeks. And that is, I just got back from a two-week trip. Of course, you know about the mission trip that we did earlier in August and late July into Africa, our first step over there. Well, I'm going to be back over there in the first week of December. I'll be in India and Africa. It'll be another two-week trip. But I just got back from a trip in Atlanta, and that was a new experience. I took my pastor with me, and he was on the air with me. We went to go visit some stations out there, WBPI in North Augusta. Of course, Dorothy Spalding and Russell Spalding own that place, and it's a great Christian program, great Christian television station, and we visited with them. They're actually like family. They just love us when we get there. Anytime we're in the area, we're able to talk to them and just be a part of their ministry. And we also visited WGGS-TV in Greenville, and that one is Channel 16. We visit them as well, and then we visited Atlanta Live, which we get like 15 minutes on the show each, and they usually have a lot of guests, and they do their show a little different. Dorothy's station, we're able to sit there for 2 hours, believe it or not, and we talked about an hour on the show on different things, and I brought Pastor with me just because he really wanted to get out there. Never been at a TV station per se to do interviews live. These were live shows. They're broadcast for 2 hours each show, and we were on full two hours on, of course, the WBPI, and that's Channel 49 in North Augusta, South Carolina. And we were there for quite some time. And then we're at WGGS. I was there on there for an hour and a half. My pastor was on there for probably half an hour. In Atlanta, we had 15 minutes. But it was an experience because I traveled with Pastor before, never rooming with him except for Kenya. But he's gone to different events with me when I've been out there to promote his books and stuff. And you know, he was nervous. You know, praise God. It's the first time he's been on the air. And he got better by the third one. But he was actually did good the first one as well and just talked. And then he kind of went on his own because he had to be up there for 15 minutes by himself. And the first times he was with me, so it wasn't too difficult at all. He just kind of was there. And I guess I felt kind of like a comfort there for him that he was right beside me the whole time when he did his part. I was just sitting there. It is difficult to stay quiet when someone else is being interviewed. I'd rather be off the set because I'm horrible at sitting still. I don't know if y'all are like that, but I am horrible at sitting still. And just let you know who's coming up on the second segment. Eric Wilson, the author of the book October Baby. Eric Wilson is New York Times best-selling author. And he is going to be on the show for the last segment, which about 20-minute, 25-minute segment. We're going to talk about his book and how he wrote it. And it was made a movie, and it's a Christian movie, so it's a Christian novel. And I believe you're gonna enjoy it. So stay tuned for that. And for now, we're just going to catch you up and let you know what's been going on. So we went out there, did some great things, and God opened up more doors for ministry for us as well. And God really just really blesses. Really blesses the time that we take to be a part of other ministry and to be a blessing. You know, I've learned that, and you're going to hear that from me all the time. Really, you will. And that is that I have learned when you focus on really just being a blessing to people and trusting God, it's a new level of faith that you're going to go into. It's a new level of faith. Now, it takes time. It takes time to make something grow. It takes time and faith for faith to grow. Faith does not grow overnight. And this is my second trip to Atlanta, my first trip forth with my pastor, but this is his first trip with me out there. And, you know, the second time we were around to the stations, it was just phenomenal. And we were actually, this is our first time in Greenville, but I met them last time I was in, but they were doing their anniversary, so they could not squeeze me in on the air, and I totally understood. You know, sometimes in life, you're going to run into things that you can't change. You're going to run into things that you can't force. You're going to run into things that you just have to let time take care of it. And that's where I was. I'm going to Greenville. It's fashionably called just Greenville. And that's just what the station's called, just Greenville, because it's in Greenville, South Carolina. It's been there for over 40 years. I think 37 years. Well, close to 37 years, so not over 40 years. And so these are stations that are well-established, and we have a little route that we go. It takes about 2 to 3 hours to drive from each point. And so we land in Atlanta. That is our base. I got a really nice hotel over there that's very affordable. And that's our base. We unpack, and then we drive to one, drive to the other, drive back. It's a little bit of driving. You rent a car, and you just go back and forth. But it's growing. When we go back, we're getting more invitations. Well, when I'm going back, I get more invitations. So when you're ever in the air, so that's like a yearly trip for me, that I go out there and visit the stations to let them know what I'm doing. And I think this time, I really didn't talk about my books. I did talk about one of my books or two of my books, but I really didn't promote them as much at the station, at either the TV programs. What I really did promote, and I really did do more on, was the missions. Everybody likes to hear about missions. I just shared about the miracles and stuff, and it was very successful. And another thing, so I'm going to be probably visiting more TV stations around the country like that. I do got to go to the NRB this year, coming up in, I think it's in February, in Las Vegas. I got to go to the NRB and be a part of that, because there's more TV stations there, and I'll get more invitations. So I'm just seeing how God is orchestrating. Have you ever sat back and just noticed how God's hand does things? And you just notice how He puts things together? How you don't have to force it when it's His will? You don't got to call and ask for this and that. You just let God do it. And I have witnessed that this year. And I have learned, well, I've been witnessed it a lot of my life, but I've witnessed it more, I guess, more strategically, and I have allowed Him. There's things that I just want so much for this ministry that I want for my house, you know, for my family, that I just have to wait and let Him do it. And I see His hand. When His hand does it, there's nothing that could stop it. We have some great, great testimonies of being on the air, at people calling in that need a prayer and stuff, and we got letters when we got back of people needing prayer. So it's a blessing to know people were watching and people were responding to them. The other thing is that we were at just recently, so that was like a week trip, came home for just 2 days, spent some time with the kids, took another flight out, just an hour out, about 6 hour drive, but an hour flight, to be part of a tech conference. And then part of that tech conference, then I was also visiting churches while I was there. I wasn't preaching, but I was visiting churches. And sometimes, you know, pastors just enjoy you coming by just to say, I'm in town and I took in the service and I want the fellowship. You know, you're going to get that more. You're going to get more out of that relationship when you just come there as a friend versus coming there as a minister. And I'm talking to ministers out there that are constantly calling places to preach. You know, sometimes you just got to be a friend and got to open the time for you to preach. One thing I got to say, and it's something that's in my heart, is I'm not dependent upon anyone to keep this ministry running. Praise God. I just depend on God. Now, God uses people. Praise God. God uses offerings. Praise God for that. But I depend on God. I sow my seeds. I put them out there. The seeds, won't tell you where they're sown. They're sown in India. They're sown in Kenya. They're sown in, you know, missions. They're sown in the TV and radio. And they're sown in inner city churches. That is where I put my seed. And God honors that seed. And I'm going to tell you a little testimony in just a few minutes. God honors that seed. When you put that seed out, God will be a blessing to you. And it'll release the seed in His hands. So we went to the valley as well, which is called the valley over here in Texas, Rio Grande Valley. We went down there. And while I went down there, it was part of tech conference. And we got about maybe 3-4 churches are going to be with us. So that's going to be a blessing. They're going to be 3 or 4 more churches. We're going to be doing different things for them. Some will be on Rev Media TV. Some will be on Rev Media Network. And some will just want the archives done on their website for them. And so we're all excited to help them and just be, and plug in somewhere to be a blessing. Now, from there, we went to the next tie day. I went to visit churches, had a good time, had one lunch with one of the churches, Freedom Church, with Pastor Vargas. Spent some good time with him and his church people. And then went and visited another church on the way back, Destiny Through Christ. They're on our website as well. And we're trying to help them with their video because they want to stream, but they're just not, it's just not time yet. It's just the timing is always, they're either busy or I'm busy coming in. So we got to pick a time that we both can just sit and just hammer out what they need. What I probably need to do is just buy the equipment that they need and just bring it to them and just have them reimburse me, because that's really it. They're just missing a couple of key pieces of equipment, and then we can get them online. And they are a full-fledged broadcasting type church with the right instruction. That's what they will be. So, you know, you just gotta look at things. And a lot of people ask me, well, how do you know how to do this? Well, I've learned over time. I've worked with ministries. I've been with a big ministry. I've done different things. But one thing I've learned is to be observant and to allow God's timing to happen in there. So we're at TBN in the Valley, which is the Spanish version of TBN, and we're on a show. And no, I didn't speak Spanish. All I said was "Cómo está." That's about it. Then we had a good translator. We did a great show on missions. I did a 20-minute segment. But what God is using me for is to produce Spanish shows for the Rio Grande Valley pastors. And TBN's given us some time that we can put our videos on the air. So we're just seeing where God has. And do you know what? Let me tell you what. Remember I told you I was going to have your testimony? Well, here is that testimony. Do you know that by doing this, God gave me a bigger vision? God gave me, can you believe that? You're saying, David, you're busy already. But do you know God's dreams are bigger than your dreams? I don't care how much you can dream. God's dreams are bigger. God's dreams are bigger. And how do you know it's a dream from God? It is when it doesn't leave your mind. You have all the instructions right away. You know what to do, and you just know you gotta do it. The dream is this, my friends. God's dream, it just opened up the vision more for us. And I'm a big dreamer. And for God to add on top of what I have is just amazing. And he knows that, well, I'll do it. And that is, we have been given some space in the Rio Grande Valley at a church. They've given us their small church to use as a studio, a TV studio. So the whole time I'm on this Atlanta trip, we're talking to my pastor about possibly taking the smaller church and making a TV studio. And he captured the vision. He's seen it. He said, wow, this is awesome. So I'm thinking, man, I got to build a studio. Within a year, I'm going to start working on that, because of the timing and the space that we're using is not going to be available for a year. If that is the place, God may have a different place for us to put the TV studio, and that is fine. Wherever he has, we will go to and we will build. Well, now get this. During that time, I'm thinking about that, testifying that to the pastors. Another place opens for us to put another studio in a different city. So we're going to have Rev Media TV Rio Grande Valley, and we're going to have Rev Media TV Studio Houston, Humble or Houston. We'll call it Houston just because we're in Houston. And we'll see what God does. But we're going to be putting together two studios. So that is God. And we're going to use those studios because we are going to be getting the local pastors in the valley together once a month. So I'll be flying out there once a month or once every month and knock out like 2-3 days worth of shows. And so now we got to fund two studios. And that is God, because I am just trying to put together my television set. See, now I always thought that I only have my TV set, which was mid-watch TV, and that's where I was going to do my shows. And then I would create another set down the hallway for the auxiliary set of something so sort that if someone came in and we needed to record for them, that we can put that together. But I never thought to run a full-fledged TV studio that broadcasts, that makes shows for other ministries, that's there, that does a weekly show, and the show is going to be called Rev Today. Can you say Rev Today? Rev Today. And that's going to be our daily show. Rev today, and that's when we're going to have different pastors coming and host. And God put all these ideas in me. Now I'm duplicating and doing it in two cities. Now that is God. No way I could have figured that out by myself. No way could I have done this on my own thinking. But God has a bigger plan. Can everybody say that God has a bigger plan? You just don't know. You don't know what he's going to use. You know when he's going to use it. You just do your part and stay faithful. You trust him, and you put things out. Now, there's another thing. I'm not going to mention the details, but I put in prayer that I've been invited to Russia, but the cost in Russia to go, and then India back-to-back. Kenya and India back-to-back in December. I put some things out to the Lord. And what I said was, Lord, I need this amount. And do you know? And I put this amount for the bills for the house and the ministry, and then plus my tickets and everything. Do you know, within 3 days? No. Within a day, that the possibility of the funds being here before the end of the month, before the middle of this month, or before the third week of this month, is real. And I'm taking care of that today, most of it. So y'all keep that in prayer for me, my friends, because that is something that God has put together, and I'll testify once it's all taken care of. Because, you know, I learned from listening and observing, like I said earlier. And I heard R.W. Schambach say, don't say a word of what's happening, because the devil hears it and sends destroyers to destroy it. That's not my best R.W., but that's what he used to say. He said, just keep it between you and God. And I give you a better R.W. if you want it. R.W., let me see. Somebody's gonna get healed tonight, praise God. That was his famous thing. No, that's T.D. Jakes, get ready. But he goes, somebody's gonna be touched by God. And, okay, I'm coming back. So, you know, God has a bigger plan for things. You just gotta let him do it. You gotta trust him. He can do it. He can make things happen. My biggest desire is just to preach and do missions. Another desire would be to make movies. I've wanted to do that since I was a kid. But, you know, God has a plan. So imagine this, my friends. Imagine us being able to create these satellite TV stations. And that's what I call them. These TV stations on IPTV, Internet Provider Television, and launch them across the world. Can you see how quick we can make enough studios with the right churches? And the beautiful thing about this is bringing the people in, giving it to the churches to run. And making an affordable cost for everyone to broadcast. And running a weekly show from each area. That is the goal. That is a big, 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 big work to get done. I really believe that God can do it. I really believe that God has a plan to do it. And I really believe that he's calling us to do that even now as we speak right now. So I'm excited about it. I'm trusting him. He's going to bless it. He's going to make things happen. And just to put that in your hands and to believe about it. So keep that in prayer. Keep the Russia trip in prayer too, because I got to get the visa. Once I get the visa, I can buy the ticket. So it's kind of a process. And to get the visa is not easy at all to get a visa over there. So I'm going through all the steps right now and getting all the paperwork that they need to get done. So I need to go get some more photos on my visa thing. And hopefully we can get this thing taken care of and get that done within 8 days. I think I can get a visa back from the consulate office. And we'll see. We'll see what God does. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that's Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And I reset a server the other day. I'm going to see if it's ready to go, and if so, I'll give you the new information for this new website that we put up. Actually, it's an old website, and we're just waiting to see what happens. And no, it did not take. So I need to figure out what I did wrong and why it does not want to take, because it should take, and it did not take. So I have to fix that later. These things are such a headache, these domain names, when you don't purchase from the same place, and you got to go change the DNS records, or you got to go change the A records, or something like that. And it's just a pain. It is a pain. And one website, I mean, I think GoDaddy's probably the easiest place to buy these things from. I should have bought that one from GoDaddy. I don't know why I bought it from this other place, but I did. And it just becomes a little headache when you have to work on it. It does. Up next, we're going to have Eric Wilson. Eric Wilson, author of October Baby. And we're going to call him in just a few minutes before we take our break. Our email address, david@revmedianetwork.com. david@revmedianetwork.com. Email me. Let me know what you think of the show, what we need to get added to it. And I hope you've been enjoying the guests that we have. And let me just go over a few guests we're going to have in the coming few days for the month of September. We're still working on our schedule. Of course, today's Eric Wilson. Thursday, we have Charles Drew, another author. And then we have some women that are participating in a big, big conference. And it's called Susan Woods Fisher, and Sarah Sundin. And then we have authors Roger Thurl and Anna McCarthy. And that's all next week. That's the 11th, 12th, and 13th. And then we have Renee Mitzler, and she's another author, on the 20th. So we're starting to get our schedule put together. You know, one thing I've learned is I've been out so long that I had to come back and start working on my schedule. Spent a day just making calls, literally a day, emailing and calling people. And I've just got enough appointments to give us something to work with. And then I'm going to try and get some more people scheduled in. I don't want to overburden myself on it as well, because we got so many things that we're doing and we're trying to get going on things. So anyway, if you want to be a part of the new Rev Media TV platform and for your city, let me know. And, you know, we're just going to let God open up the doors, open up the churches. I know we're going to be putting one in Pennsylvania. So we're going to have three stations that are running, three studios that are running, that are doing weekly shows. And we're just going to believe God that he's going to continue to bless and bring the people that we need to get this going and to make it happen and to make God do some awesome, you know, just let him do some awesome things. So just be available. Trust God. Be a part of whatever God is trying to do. And we're going to be in Kenya and India in the first week of December. I will confirm the dates and get back with you on that as well, because I need to get that ticket and get that out of the way as well. And, you know, it just trusting God. Whenever you step out in God, whenever you do something for God, whenever God calls you to do great things, there's a season that you go through, my friends. I don't know how many times I've shared this to you, but there's a season that you go through that you just got to work it and you got to make it happen and you got to just put together your faith. And, you know, you go through that season, it's called paying the price, and you just keep going through that season. And you just sow your seeds of faith and you keep walking through it, and God will produce great things. And we'll see what happens, my friends, and in God's work that he has for you. So I love you, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes. Let's see if we get the audio working. It's been off for such a long time. It does not want to play. We'll see. We'll be right back. And
just want to take a couple of minutes to talk to you about Second Look at Sports and a 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen. These programs have been broadcasting with us for about a year now. We broadcast a 30-minute program to Second Look at Sports Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. And I tell you, they have been a part of a huge afternoon growth from 3 to 5 p.m. that has been a blessing to see on the stats. We've seen these numbers just growing. We have a lot of listeners listening between those time slots, and it's a huge blessing to see that these shows are touching people. Now, a 60-second look at sports has been used on our music channel, our sermon channel, our talk radio channel. These three channels broadcast 24/7, and we have these 60-second slots that we throw them in throughout the day. So almost after every show and after almost every broadcast that we have, even other commercials, you'll hear Dr. Dwight Allen, and you hear some old 60-second look at sports, and you hear the current ones, and we just mix them up and throughout all the channels that we have on the station. And it's a blessing because we're seeing people touched, and being a sports fan that I am, and just being an athlete, I love hearing these stars, these athletes, these coaches, people just talking about Jesus. He's talking about the things that, God is doing in them life. So it's a blessing to see this type of shows put together. I know there's a lot of work in it. There's a lot of quality in it, because I tell you what, we've had over 745,000 people visit our site in the last month alone. And I believe that a part of that growth, and a big part of that growth, is the quality that these programs like A 60 Second Look at Sports and A Second Look at Sports have brought to our broadcasting station. So I want to tell you, Dr. Dwight Allen is doing a great, great job. We here at the station, we call him Coach just because of all the sports things that he does. And I tell you, he is a blessing to us, and it's a privilege to be broadcasting his programs, but also to be partnering with him in ministry and just seeing the people of God being touched. People all over the world are hearing these programs on our station, and I believe that they're just being blessed with it. God bless you. Thank you so much. Listen to A 60 Second Look at Sports, A Second Look at Sports, throughout our broadcasting station at revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. Have a blessed day.
Who or what is to blame for the incredible youth crisis in America today, and how can we fix it? Hi, I'm Trace Embry with Shepherd's Hill Farm with a hard word. I would take issue with the fact that we actually have a youth crisis today, although our youth are surely suffering. Any youth crisis we have is a result of a greater parent crisis, which is an outworking of a greater cultural crisis, which is a byproduct of an even more significant church crisis. 2 Chronicles 7:14 seems to indicate, until we, God's people, can get our act together, we can't expect our land to be healed. When our culture no longer puts a premium on stuff and self, when we quit being a nation of style over substance, our land can heal. God, family, and a return to a premium on moral character will then fill the void. This will produce more good and godly parents, who will then produce more good and godly youth.
Trace is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Farm, a Christ-centered and biblically-based program serving at-risk teens. Watch our video and learn more at shfteens.org.
When the lowly babe of Bethlehem was born 2,000 years ago, there was no room for him in the inn. He was considered a threat to freedom, as Freud would say, a source of guilt and pathologies. Sure enough, after 300 years he did conquer. Armenia became the first Christian nation-state, and then Rome was converted. Then, only 400 years ago, the man of Galilee came to America with the Puritans and laid the foundation for the greatest nation the world has ever known. But the enemies of God's law are still gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed king, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us." God's law is too binding. It's a threat to our freedom. At Church of the King, we say with the psalmist, "Oh, how I love thy law." At Church of the King, we believe it is the truth that really sets men free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.org. Call toll-free 866-449-KING.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." Can you imagine Jesus saying to his disciples, "Now listen, be careful not to give 100% when you serve me"? No, of course you can't. Surely, when we serve the Lord, we want to give him 110%. Apparently, the reason for my recent heart attack was because I had been overcommitted to serving the Lord. True, there has to be a balance between work and rest, and therein lies the secret to good health. When we work hard, we must also rest hard. We must have a day off when we do not do anything that we would normally do when we are working. There is another element that should not be ignored, that of exercise. If we work hard and rest hard, we must also play hard. The harder we work, the harder we should rest and play, making a commitment to give 100% in each area.
Economically, spiritually, and morally,
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we appreciate you tuning in and being a part of what we're doing. And we have a very special guest for you today. And, of course, we've been promoting October, baby. And praise God, we have the author of the book, October, baby, Mr. Eric Wilson. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, dude.
Hey, man, you're coming in loud and clear, so you're good to go.
Good.
Hey, so tell us a little bit about yourself. We're talking about earlier about how you kind of serve coffee. Tell us about your start, but also tell us about your faith, and you know, just tell us who Eric Wilson is.
Okay. Yeah, I actually, I've probably had about 10 different careers, but all along I was wanting to be a novelist. That was my dream from back when I was a little kid. And it started basically because my parents were missionaries. Back in the 70s, we were traveling around Eastern Europe smuggling Bibles. If you've heard about God Smuggler and Brother Andrew and all that, we were part of that back then in the 70s. And, of course, I was just a little kid, so I would be traveling around in these vans, not even really knowing what my parents were doing at the time, just thinking this must be normal life for a kid. And I'd be, you know, driving past gypsies in the middle of the night in Romania. And I read a lot because I was trapped in a van. So I learned to love chess and reading, different things that were, you know, stuck indoors kind of activities. And from that love of reading came my desire to want to write stories and share the same sort of enjoyment I got out of it. But along the path of trying to become a novelist, I've done construction, ran my own espresso shop, been a youth pastor, you know, all kinds of things. So,
hey, man, you know, God has his path. I mean, and sometimes, yeah, you know, you learn something from each of those. I've learned in all my life that I wouldn't trade much of anything just to go through what I've gone through in life, and I'm sure you can probably testify about the same thing, because you get some kind of value in something you do, and even if it's serving coffee, it's there's a value there that you get that only God can teach you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, actually, serving coffee was probably one of the best ministry experiences we ever had, and just being able to be involved in people's lives, and we were sort of the town psychiatrists almost. People would walk up and, without hardly saying hi or how are you doing, just launch into their story, you know. Oh, well, so now she has the kids and I won't be seeing them except for twice a month. The
wow.
Divorce is final. And, you know, we just get to hear these people's stories and talk to them and love them. And, you know, we still have relationships with some of those people over a decade later. So,
really? So that's amazing. How long did you do that? How long did you do the coffee?
We ran our own espresso cart for 4 years, and then we also worked here in Nashville. When we moved to Nashville 11 years ago, we worked at Opryland Hotel at their coffee place there for another 3 or 4 years. So coffee was part of our lives for about 7 or 8 years.
Now, Opryland, that's where they have the NRB every year, and I was there this past year. And, of course, all the listeners know about that because I always talk about that. But it's huge. My goodness, you get lost just walking through that place.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little confusing at first.
Wow. So tell us what made you put together the book, October Baby.
Well, I had done the book of Fireproof, and altogether I've written 14 published stories now.
Wow.
Four of those, including October Baby, have been novelizations of movies, and it's a little different than you would expect. I didn't write the book and had the book made into a movie. It was the other way around. They had a screenplay and a movie and asked me to do a book based on that and basically flesh it out, make it a deeper, longer story that can be enjoyed on the page. And it's not that unusual of an order of doing things now, because even TV shows like the TV show Castle have done this, where the show was successful, so they now have printed books by a fictitious author named Richard Castle that are mystery novels, and they've hit the bestseller list, and, you know, publishers are realizing TV and movies are a great way to advertise a book.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, yeah.
So why not help each other? So that's how I was brought on board. You know,
So you had already a proven track record, because Fireproof, what were the other couple of them before that?
Fireproof, Facing the Giants, and Flywheel. And, you know, what usually happens with these novelizations is they have to be done very quickly because, well, don't ask me why. I don't understand all the publishing side of it. But usually they're trying to release them with the DVD release or something.
And yeah, I understand.
Marketing done. Yeah. They have to hurry.
I was wondering, because the same young lady that did the main character was on your novel. I'm like, well, how did that happen? Because normally, you know, the book would come out first, right? And then and then they'd get someone to play the character in the movie. I guess that's how James Patterson's movies all come out, his books, because it was Along Came a Spider. Then, of course, you know, it wasn't those characters on the book, on the cover.
Right, right.
So I was going to ask you that. I was going to ask you, was this a novelization? And I'm glad you mentioned that. And so you've written 10 other titles as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I've, you know, the novelizations was something I never, ever imagined doing. Originally, I think I was on my sixth or seventh book possibly when I was approached to do Facing the Giants, was the first of these I did. And I think the reason I was asked was because I had just signed with Thomas Nelson to do some other books, and they knew that I wanted to really be able to make a living at it, because at that point I was still working part-time at Kinko's while also trying to write novels. And so I needed to increase my incomes, partly. And also I was, I think, one of the few younger guys on their roster, and they thought I might have the better connection for writing a football-based story. I played did a lot of sports growing up, ran track, played soccer, played basketball. So I think they figured I might be a good person for that.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually scared to death to do it because I've never really worked with anybody else. I mean, I have in lots of other arenas, but writing a book is such a solitary endeavor. You know, I basically spend 1,000 hours alone in a room to write a book.
Wow.
Between research and writing. You know, when people say, oh, I'm going to write a book someday, I'm like, well, if you feel like spending 1,000 hours in a room by yourself, great. Most people can't do that.
So when you write with a novelization of the movie, you got the script in hand, correct?
Right.
So you try and keep it along the same script as far as the timeline and stuff like that, and just add in between, or?
Well, every experience is a little different. With the Kendricks, who did those first three books,
yes,
or wrote the screenplays of those first three, we met. You know, I wrote them independently, but we did meet beforehand. They interviewed me and made sure I was the guy they wanted and all that kind of thing. And then we actually met and discussed the story and what other areas we could add things, in their cases, there were things that they said, you know, we've had some complaints about this one issue that it wasn't more fully developed, or specifically with Facing the Giants, some people had accused it of being a prosperity gospel kind of message, that if you just pray and do everything right, everything will work wonderfully. And they said, we don't believe that, and we didn't want to portray that, but there are times where God does work that way in someone's life, and if you only show a snapshot of their life, it would seem that way. And that's what this movie was, but we weren't trying to misrepresent the gospel or anything. So they said, is there something you could do to maybe add, you know, a little more, you know, that touch of reality that reminds you that not everything works perfectly. And I said, well, I write mostly suspense novels, so could I kill somebody off? And I actually did. So if you ever read Facing the Giants, you'll see that I did kill somebody off, but not quite the way anyone would expect. And the Kendricks had the final say on any changes I made, and they actually called me and they said, we're sitting here reading your manuscript and we're both in tears and this really worked and we'll let you kill this person off because it worked.
Well, that's nice to have that little bit of liberty there to do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was actually
was it a main character, or
have you seen the movie?
No, I hadn't seen the movie.
Okay. Well, there was a character who, he was kind of a peripheral character, but he was spiritually an important character that he was praying for the team and really supporting them. And so I kind of turned him into a Simeon type of character from Scripture, where he's waiting for this fulfillment of prophecy to happen, and then when that does, he can die, you know, kind of idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it worked. And, you know, my fear in writing a novelization was all the horror stories you hear of Hollywood and people getting in fights over things and lawsuits and all that. I thought, boy, I don't know if I want to get into, you know, all that. I want to just enjoy writing books by myself. But the Kendricks were just awesome to work with. We had so much fun and laughed a lot, and they gave me a lot of freedom, except they did say, you know, what we have in the script needs to be in the book, and then you can build all around that, add subplots and backstories and that kind of thing.
It makes sense, because it is coming at the same time the DVD is coming, and
that
makes sense. So were you successful in your other books before the novelizations as well?
Well, I was still working at Kinko's, if that tells you anything. But
hey, but Thomas Nelson's no small publisher there.
No, I mean, my first books were actually published with the division of Random House called Waterbrook Press. And so, you know, I'd had, on the surface, what appears to be success, but what most authors experience, you know, what you don't normally hear, is that an author gets paid in advance for a book, and that basically just covers your time to have written it. And then based on sales, you get royalties. So if your sales pay off the advance, then you get royalties. And only about 5% of books ever get royalties. So
wow.
The average writer does not ever make more money than that initial amount they got paid, which is usually about 6 months worth of pay maybe. So that's why I started writing 2 books a year, to try to make a normal salary. In fact, only 1 year of my writing career have I ever made more than I did 15 years ago in the corporate world. So,
wow. So yeah, so it is definitely a passion and a call.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not about the money. At least for me, it hasn't worked out that way, but that's never been my desire. I care more about my relationships with my editors and agents and that kind of thing than I do about just demanding that I make a bunch of money and put all your marketing dollars into me because I'm the big dog. That's the way I think. I probably would do better in the way our world works, but that's not what drives me. So.
Amen. So how long did it take you to put the novel together for October Baby?
Well, with all of my novelizations, the ones based on movies, I've done them in 4 to 6 weeks.
That is impressive.
Yeah, it's the way I describe it is writing my own novels is like birthing a baby, and it really demands a whole different kind of thing. Writing a novelization is like babysitting someone's kid for a month or two. You know, it's a lot of work. It's a big commitment. But it's not quite the same as birthing a baby, so it doesn't demand quite as much.
Wow. Now, do you get paid? Are you going to get paid royalties on this, or just a fee that they gave you for writing the book? How do they work that stuff out when you do novelizations?
Well, some of them I have. It has been done as a royalty-based thing. Sometimes they can be done as a work for hire, which means you don't really own the rights to it. You just got paid an upfront amount to
kind of like screenwriting when they come in to work on a script.
Right. So in this case, to be honest, we're still trying to negotiate some of that and figure it out.
Okay. Well, I don't want to get too much into it. I just didn't know.
it can be done either way.
Okay. So do you enjoy the novelization? Obviously, you knocked out 4 of them, so.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. Yeah, it's really a lot of fun.
To me, you probably might have a little bit more freedom because you can just imagine characters and put stuff, and you basically have kind of like the blueprint, and you just fit everything in. So you might have a little bit more freedom to be creative.
Actually, it's less freedom to be creative, really, because when I'm writing my own stories, it's just from scratch, whatever I want to throw in there.
Okay.
But what has been fun is being able to work within someone else's vision and really add to it. And that's been something I didn't realize I had the desire or enjoyment of doing until I tried it. And I've actually loved it, to have the Kendricks call and say, man, we're loving this scene. We wish we'd shot this in the movie. This is a great scene you added. Or, to have the people from October Baby say, boy, you captured our main character just exactly how we would have wanted. And we weren't expecting that from a 45-year-old guy, So
that's
a huge compliment.
That is awesome. Now, do you watch the movies before you write, or do you just read the scripts?
Yeah, both. I watched the movie first just totally as a fan and to enjoy it and not really think about it too much, because I think that's the way most art should be enjoyed at first, which is where I think they go wrong in school a lot of times with kids and reading. They try to turn them into critics before they let them just love to read.
Yeah, that's true.
And so you end up not enjoying it. But once I've watched it and just enjoyed it, then I go back and get more critical and look for things that I think as a viewer I didn't feel like were answered, or things that really hit me and I want to make sure to capture specifically in the book. Or, maybe I'm watching a scene. Now, have you seen October Baby?
Yes.
Okay. So with October Baby, an example is you wonder what with the birth mother, kind of a little more what has happened all these years with her. So that was a question as a viewer, and so I thought, well, that's something I want to answer in the book, then let's add some scenes with the mother where you get to learn more about her, and let's add some stuff with the abortion nurse, what drove her to make the decisions she did. And so those are, things I started making notes on and then just kind of started fleshing it out and really having fun with it.
Wow, that is awesome. Now, does this motivate you to write scripts?
it's a completely different art form, and I'm not sure I have that talent. I wouldn't mind trying, but a script is so compact and so such a different way of writing. I think script writers may have maybe better at becoming novelists. I'm not sure if a novelist, or at least my style of writing, I'm a pretty descriptive writer where a lot of my themes and symbolism and stuff comes through the descriptive parts of the story. And so that can't work as a screenwriter. You have to, you know, it's almost all dialogue, very just straightforward. So I'd have to have somebody hold my hand and show me how to do it. I don't think I'd be a natural.
Oh, what are some upcoming titles that are going to be released from you?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What are some upcoming titles that listeners can look out for from you?
Well, my newest book is 2 Seconds Late. Just came out a little bit ago. I'm under negotiations for a couple new things coming up, so I can't say a lot
yet. Okay, that's fine.
But I do have, it looks like I'm going to be doing a World War II thriller called The Eagle's Nest, which is kind of fun because I just released my first ebook novella called Amelia's Last Secret, which dealt with Amelia Earhart's disappearance.
Okay.
And this World War II thriller will connect with that and deal with a guy who was raised as a missionary's kid. Sound familiar? raised as a missionary's kid, but his parents were missionaries to the Navajo. And so he ended up learning Navajo. This is back right before World War II starts. And the Nazis end up kidnapping him to break the Navajo code. So his experiences of being with his parents, and, you know, he hasn't really owned his faith for himself, and this forces him as a young man to kind of learn where he stands with God and as he faces, you know, this bad situation.
yeah. Wow. Tell us about 2 Seconds Late.
2 Seconds Late is a modern version of the story of Esther. It's a young lady who, here in Tennessee, she starts dating a politician who she finds out has a key vote in a bill that would allow human microchipping, where microchips could be, you know, we could each be tagged with something that would track us, have all our information on it, that kind of thing. And this is actually a lot closer to reality than you might think. The technology is out there and already being used in certain circumstances. And in fact, really, our iPhones and all that sort of thing do a lot of this as it is. But so she has a chance to really stand up, kind of make a decision and possibly save lives, but she doesn't realize there's a whole conspiracy behind this that's involving even, you know, dragging her boyfriend, soon-to-be fiancé, even into it.
Wow.
It becomes a race against time, and she doesn't know that she even has become a victim of it unknowingly. So.
Wow. Now, who's the publisher on that one?
That is a smaller publisher called Bay Forest Press. They're part of Kingstone Media. And I went with them because I just wanted a hands-on approach to publishing. They've had a harder time getting it into stores, so not as many stores have carried it. You know, nowadays, publishers and retailers are all pretty wary, and unless they see a big name on it, they get a little worried about the sales potential. So I actually am pursuing some other options to get some wider attention for those books, because I really love the books and just think they deserve more of an audience. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to the ICRS. It's just like you just get amazed how many books are out there. when that's not even all of them. That's just like a percentage of them, a very small percentage of them that can actually go to the show. And I walked in there one day, you've been to the ICRS?
Yeah, a couple times.
And it's like you just a massive galore of books everywhere. It's like, how do you even get noticed?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's definitely God that lifts you up and puts you to where you are. And tell us about how, you know, when you put these books together, just some advice to some of the people out there that may want to write books, and something that may have helped you and help you adapt and help you do things as well.
Yeah. You know, this is kind of advice to writers, but it's really just advice about life with the Lord, too. When I write a book, you know, there's always this aspect that people ask me, you know, where do you get your ideas and how do you start? And, you know, that sort of thing. Those are pretty common questions. Well, what I start with, first of all, is something I'm passionate about. That's why I've enjoyed the novelizations, because I am passionate about, you know, babies and life and adoption. My wife was adopted, and I was born out of wedlock, so my parents could easily, my mom was Catholic and could have made the choice to kind of hide her mistake, though, of course, that would have gone against her Catholic upbringing, too. but she, you know, so there were you know, those were things I was passionate about, and the same with fireproof and marriage. My wife and I have been married 22 years, so we're passionate about marriage. So I'd say choose something you're passionate about. I think that applies to anybody in life, really. Pursue the things you're passionate about. And then as the story goes along, a lot of it is a walk of faith for me. I don't know a lot of times where the story is going to go or what the characters are going to choose to do in certain circumstances. And it really becomes this walk of faith of going, okay, God, I'm going to kind of write this next scene and see where it leads. And usually I get really excited at the end of it and go, oh, my gosh, it all fit together. I never even thought how this could tie together. And, you know, my wife will laugh like, well, you're the one writing the story. I'm like, I know, but it's kind of this creative thing you're tapping into where you don't always understand it. So it's just fun to see that process with the Lord. And I think we all go through that,
Amen.
Whether we're an accountant or an artist, where we have to make choices to trust for, as a believer. So,
Amen. Now, let everybody know how to get the October Baby, the book.
Well, it's, you know, on all the online retailers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's on Kindle and Nook, so it's on e-reader formats. You can go to any of the bookstores, you know, whether it's a Lifeway or Berean or you know, Barnes & Noble, whatever it is where you normally like to shop, they should have it. And if you want more information, you can always check out my website, which is wilsonwriter.com. It's Wilson and Writer, as in writing a book, not riding a bike. So,
all right, cool. I'm writing that down right now, too. All right. Now, is there any other information you want to give anyone while we're about to close?
You know, just pursue those things that God's put in your heart, and don't be afraid. You know, a lot of times, even as a young man, I would sit there and go, God, what do you want me to do? I'd keep praying for him to give me direction. And I finally realized, you know, it's like we're sitting in a car revving the engine, but we never put it into gear.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, even if we start heading the wrong way, we can at least turn around when we're moving. But if we're not moving, we're not getting anywhere. And it's hard to even know whether you're going the right direction or wrong direction until you start moving. So, you know, be willing to let your foot off the clutch or put the car into drive or whatever and get moving. And you realize you're going the wrong way, turn around, do what God told you to do, and move.
Amen. Well, it's a blessing to have you on the show. We really enjoyed you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Amen, my brother. Well, you take care, and let us know when your books come out. You know, I do interviews Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, so if you ever want to call back and set up a time for us to talk about any of your other books, we're more than willing to.
Oh, cool. I appreciate that.
All right, my brother. God bless. I'll probably see you at the NRB next year.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was awesome. That was really awesome. That was Mr. Eric Wilson. Of course, you can visit him at wilsonwriter.com, and you'll be able to see some of the things that he has and to see the books that he's had. Now, that's impressive. For he wrote the book Facing the Giants, Fireproof, Flying Wheels, and I believe it's Flying Wheels. I think I've seen it in the back. Yeah, Flying Wheel. And Facing the Giants. So these are the ones that they ask him to write, and he's the one that adds to the story, adds to the characters, even to the point of killing off a couple. Anyway, he lives in Nashville, Tennessee, with his wife and two daughters. Very great interview, and just very calm, very well into the arts craft of writing books. 14 published titles. His latest one's the second. 2 seconds late, and look out for some new ones coming from. So that's good to be have people like that just love God and just love to do what God is telling them to do. You don't see that often. And I interview a lot of authors. I do. And I'm not saying not all of them are godly, but I'm just saying there's just those that you just know that just write because they just love to write. It's not about themselves. It's not about anything else, but just trusting God and letting God do the things he wants and just basically almost like when I write a sermon, you know, it's just whatever God tells me to put out or whenever I prepare, it's just a revelation and just, wow, this is awesome. And that's the same thing I'm hearing from him when he gets his books done. It's like, wow, the story went here. This is great. You know, when God is behind something, you know, he's going to get what he wants out of you to get it to where it needs to go. Okay, October Baby, on shelves, on DVD and on shelves with the book itself. And as a novel, and you're going to be able to get that at retailers, check Amazon, check all your Christian bookstores, of course, check the big places as well. I'm sure they're going to have it. Well, thank you again for joining us. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. God bless you, my friends. We love you. Remember, write me, David@revmedianetwork.com. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.